happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
Hi, I'm Ann Northrup.
And wow, in the news this week, we learned that the woman who's trying to take Trump down is a member of our LGBT community, and a black gay man is dedicated to ending Trumpism, and he's on his way to Congress.
We said briefly last week, but we'll explain more this week, the Catholic Church got $3.5 billion of our tax dollars in coronavirus aid.
Shocking. There's been an arrest in the murder of trans woman Mercy Mack in Dallas.
And we're all a little heartbroken at the death of Naya Rivera. She was only 37 years old, and she brought lesbian romance to Glee and died in a tragic accident.
The out-gay governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, an old fan of the show, has signed 4 pro-LGBT bills into law.
Terrible news from Poland, as I'm sure you may know, but good news from the Netherlands and Thailand.
And Lil Nas X has a new song called Call Me By Your Name.
Wonder where he got that title.
Okay. Well, yes. So, yeah, I mean, I was unaware as I was reading, hearing all the news about Mary Trump and her book, that deep inside the book, which I haven't read, I've only read, of course, the news reports, she acknowledges that she had a woman partner at the time, of one of the incidents that she was describing. And the incident that she's describing is, I believe it's her grandmother, right?
Donald Trump's Scottish mother.
Yes.
It had to be before or at 1999, which is when Donald's mother died.
So grandma derided Elton John as a little faggot. And she said, it made me not choose that time to tell them that I was engaged to this woman.
Which was an appropriate and subtle way for her to put that out there. We have no idea whether she has a partner now and who that might be, because that's more obscure. But saying that she was, in fact, engaged to be married to a woman at
yep.
that time was quite astonishing and has not turned up in most of the mainstream news reports.
It's surprised that it hasn't turned out from the, you know, given who Trump's supporters are, that they would go after on this, but they're not buying the book, they're just burning it.
What are they doing, stealing it from bookstores and burning it? Burning down bookstores? But to me, this is just another example of how the mainstream press is still very uncomfortable about talking about us. The fact that that wouldn't have been mentioned in any of the mainstream reviews is shocking.
I think that obviously Mary Trump has been affected by this miserable family and she rebelled against that. But I think that people who understand themselves as LGBT also take a different perspective on things in life. As a result, I mean, Ken Sherrill, the political scientist, said it's a big predictor that you will leave the Republican Party and become a Democrat. The biggest predictor of that.
Especially when your grandmother's calling you a little faggot, Elton John, but by analogy, her.
And Donald loves Elton John.
And Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press spokeswoman, made a point this week of telling Chris Johnson of the Washington Blade, who was asking her questions at the daily press briefing about the Trump administration's, would they now allow trans people in the military since the Supreme Court had okayed that for employment? And she totally ignored the question and just said Trump loves LGBT people. And
no, she said he has a great record when it comes to the LGBT community. Of course, I would say that Trump's followers would agree that he has a great record because he's screwed us over completely.
Well, Chris repeated the question, and she continued to avoid it and say that she had no information on that subject.
Well, the reason for asking the question beyond the Bostock decision, the Supreme Court decision, was 116 members of Congress wrote to the president and said, hello, there's a new interpretation of what sex means now. What are you going to do? And they're not doing anything. So maybe when Mondaire Jones gets into Congress, which he is likely to do, this is a gay black man, progressive, who won the primary for Nita Lowey's seat in Manhattan, in New York, which is just above New York City there, Westchester and Rockland County. Wow. And he is prevailed over a field of seven other candidates with 44.6% of the vote. And he's a lawyer and an activist, and he means business.
The primary was 3 weeks ago, but they've been counting absentee ballots and such, just to be sure. He had a lead in the race, but now they've officially confirmed him as the congressional candidate. And it is such a historically Democratic area that he's not expected to have any problem with the election in November. So he's being regarded as the new member of Congress from Westchester and Rockland. He was endorsed by Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, AOC. He really is a true progressive and is going to shake. He's going to join the squad. The squad is growing.
That's great. I don't usually talk about anything Pat Robertson says, but this week he did say that if the Equality Act passes, obviously the Senate has already passed the House, he said, a righteous God will do to us what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. But I think you have to ask yourself, Pat, that given what's going on in the United States, maybe not passing the Equality Act is causing a lot of trouble for the United States.
I wish someday someone would hold these guys responsible for all their predictions that God's going to strike people down for being progressive.
And it was in other news of what Trump did this week. I mean, the asylum rule that they've declared, which is essentially making it almost impossible to get asylum. You, on the first day you appear before a judge, you have to declare the social group that you were a member of. You're just dragged in and you have to say, I'm gay, but maybe you're not ready. You haven't got your pace together. Doesn't matter. I mean, everything is designed to just keep everybody out. It's not hard to keep everybody out now. No one wants to come here now, given the fact that we are just the epicenter of the coronavirus in the world.
But they backed down on exchange students not being able to attend college online.
I mean, I have to think, given all the people who are on the boards of these universities, many of whom are Republicans and are probably sent to the White House, this is how we make our money. Don't do this to us.
Well, the news today is that Israel has had opened up its schools and is now closing them again because virus is popping up already. So
I have a lot of relatives who are teachers, a lot. And some of them in Little Rock, Arkansas, they're terrified of going back. They are terrified. I mean, they've got kids of their own. They don't want to bring this home. They don't want to get it. They don't want their kids. They don't want the kids that they're teaching to get it. And, you know, you heard what Mike Pence said today. Well, we don't want you to use the CDC guidelines as an excuse not to open up the schools. So, of course, we've just disinherited the CDC, and we're not going to give them any more data on what's going on in this crisis. I mean, my head is exploding.
I agree. The other things that... one of the reasons that they reversed on the college online studies was because these universities did threaten or did file suit against them. Yes. And a lot of health organizations are now filing suit against the Trump administration's attempt to repeal the non-discrimination portions of Obamacare. I don't predict the same quick reversal by the administration.
I mean, we did have two more Supreme Court, three more big Supreme Court decisions since we last met. And, you know, two of them were about, you know, Trump releasing his taxes, where the court, you know, sort of said, yeah, maybe, but the cases have got to go on. I mean, in the Nixon era, they just said, Mr. Nixon, give them the papers tomorrow. And they didn't do that here, but the Manhattan DA is seeking them. And then there was that Oklahoma decision where they, you know, where Justice Gorsuch, essentially, with the four liberals, acknowledged that half the state is, to use the old word of the treaty, Indian territory. And that is to acknowledge an 1866 treaty that was struck with the United States Congress. That's encouraging.
One wonders what Trump has done to so offend Justice Gorsuch, because he's now done this a couple of times for us and for the Native Americans. Maybe he has flipped on Trump.
It's that liberal Episcopal church that he goes to in Colorado, I think. Isn't that where he's from?
Yes. And he is a Westerner, and that's one reason he had some local knowledge about the Oklahoma treaty.
Right. So let's talk about coronavirus aid. You know, we have the tally. The biggest recipient of this PPP money, these loans that people get, was the Roman Catholic Church, $3.5 billion going to 9,000 Catholic-affiliated organizations. Now, religious groups don't normally get this kind of money, but they...
Separation of church and state.
They went behind the scenes and did all this lobbying and slipped in this loophole into the law, a loophole which is costing all of us $3.5 billion to prop up a church that is having trouble paying off all the lawsuits over the molestation cases.
Well, that's what this money is going for, is to make up for that.
Archdiocese of New York also announced this week, despite the fact that they're getting these millions and millions and millions of dollars, we're closing 17 of our schools. Well, I don't bemoan that. I mean, there will be less chance for indoctrination.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But in more local coronavirus news, controversy continues on Fire Island, where last week we were talking about the horror that erupted over pictures of unmasked partygoers on Fire Island in the signs, gay men, acknowledging that this is not just Fire Island, but noting that it has come to our neighborhoods. Well, this week, a couple of developments. One, it turns out the Fire Island Pines Owners Association, Property Owners Association, in reaction to this outrage, immediately put out a notice saying, we're calling in the cops. We're going to have cops patrolling all the boardwalks day and night, taking video of everybody, busting into parties. Horrifying what they were doing. You would think they might have learned something after the weeks and weeks of defund the police demonstrations, but no, their first reaction was, we're calling in the cops. Meanwhile, others had a smarter reaction and are enlisting local people to do more grassroots education and nudging to
grassroots. I mean, Danny Nardizio, who was a promoter, hired a bunch of go-go boys and drag queens called COVID destroyers to hand out masks and to humorously move people towards adopting safe behaviors in a non-judgmental manner.
Much more likely to be effective and a lot less scary. I mean, calling in the cops. Come on.
Right. I need to pause before I forget, before we leave all this federal news. I mean, apparently you're not responding to the census out there, a lot of you, and we need you to do that. And you can do it by going to my2020census.gov and get that filled out, and that's going to keep representation in your state. And then also another reminder about registering to vote. I mean, I read a story today that said in 2 months, two states are going to start early voting for president for the November election. In 2 months. So go to voteamerica.com. Is it .com? I think it is. Check that out.
.org. If it's not .com, try .org.
And it'll tell you if you're registered, how to register, how to get an absentee ballot. Everything is there for every state in the union.
But we want you to fill out the census so that all the money we've just paid the federal government in our taxes gets allocated a little more sensibly to states, and the big states don't get left out.
Right.
We haven't filled out the census.
Betsy DeVos was being horrible in so many ways this week about going back to school and all that kind of stuff. But her new rules on campus sexual misconduct, which have been essentially gutted by the education department, students as young as 10 are joining a lawsuit against her on that. By the way, when she talked about my favorite quote of the week, it's not gay related, Ayanna Pressley reacting to Betsy DeVos demanding that they open up the schools. And she said, "I wouldn't trust you to care for a houseplant, let alone my child."
Very good. But meanwhile, Joe Biden is getting to work on plans for his administration, which, fingers crossed. His people and Bernie Sanders' people have been in deep, intensive talks and negotiations and have released a $2 billion plan for, I guess, infrastructure and climate change work. And even Bernie and people in his camp are saying this is the most progressive plan ever put together.
Right. We're not going to get from Biden Medicare for all, although that's not what he's for. I guess if we push him harder, we might. But the plan is to have a government-run option that you can access on a sliding scale, and it'll be free for you if you were low income.
But it's also a lot of climate change plans, getting off fossil fuel. It's a lot of stuff across the board that is far more progressive than Joe Biden has any history of doing in his entire political career. And I find that very heartening because I've been very concerned about Biden, who has made a lot of bad decisions in his career, whether it was the Iraq War or Anita Hill or crime.
Think about that stuff now.
Well, I've been worried, and now I feel better. That's the message. I feel
Blended. Better. And if you feel better, I feel better.
The plan is good. And what I've seen since he won the nomination or was seen to be about, you know, to be the likely winner of the nomination, he has been available for being educated and pushed to a more progressive stance. And that really does give me a lot of hope.
Yes. So advocacy works.
Yes.
I'm a little worried about the 2024 Republican candidate for president, Tucker Carlson.
I'm worried about it being Donald Trump.
You read this week that his head writer, Blake Neff, they mostly emphasized this guy's racism online, but homophobia was a big part of what he wrote under pseudonyms. Yeah. And, Tucker didn't apologize for it at all. He just got rid of the guy. But Scrabble is banning anti-gay slurs in competition.
I'm sorry, I talked over you and that got...
Scrabble. If you want to play Scrabble, you can't use slurs of any kind, including anti-LGBT slurs.
Well, the North American Scrabble Association chief executive overruled his advisory board in banning racist and homophobic words. Broader social issues are more important than looking inward, he said. The board is evidently took a sort of strict free speech kind of stand. You know, nothing should be off the board, so to speak. It's they're just words, but the chief executive said no. Broader social issues are more important. And so he went ahead and mandated that, which I thought was a great move.
Should we talk about some state and local news?
Sure.
Well, Oregon, the Court of Appeals there has ruled in favor of allowing non a non-binary option on personal identification documents. And we'll have more about that in international news.
And I'm very excited to see what Orange County, California is going to come up with as a new name for John Wayne Airport, which they're going to get rid of. I knew John Wayne was a deep conservative, but the quotes from that old Playboy interview.
Oh, you never read that before? Oh.
Well, if I did, I forgot it. Very racist, very homophobic, really just.
He went after Midnight Cowboy, especially. And of course, you know, those characters weren't exactly gay. One of them was a hustler who beat up men. I thought it was kind of homophobic, even though it was made by John Schlesinger.
Well, weren't there always rumors about John Wayne anyway? Or am I just making that up?
John Wayne, and I'm not casting aspersions, but his predilection was he married, a bunch of Latinx women over the years.
Okay.
His thing. But who knows?
Whatever.
Who knows? I haven't heard any stories. A few stories about Clark Gable, a lot of other people. Let's ask Scotty Bowers. The New York City Council has urged New York State to pass our Senator Brett Wellman's bill to repeal the ban on walking while trans. You know, this bill, which is essentially an anti-loitering law, was passed by our state senator here about 40 years ago because they didn't like prostitution on the streets or sex work, and that's what they passed.
Well, now they've...
Still, for 2 minutes, you could be arrested.
Well, people have mostly been forced out of the West Village, where that was very controversial because they've so gentrified the area. There's not much of the sex trade left there, is my...
Now there's a lot of empty storefronts.
Yeah, exactly. Good news from California, where the judge has ordered... We've told you this was coming, we hoped... release of the video of the Prop 8 trial 10 years ago.
The majority of the opponents of Prop 8 have already appealed to the appeals court in the Ninth Circuit, right?
Yes, but they're not likely to get very far with this. The Prop 8 was passed in California as an anti-same-sex marriage law. We took that to the California courts. They ruled against us and said, no, Prop 8 was fine. Then we took it to the federal courts, and that's when we got Judge Vaughn Walker, who it turned out was gay. I think he came out in the middle of the trial, didn't he, or was outed?
Yes.
At any rate, he...
Can't rule on this. Interest in whether...
Right. You're biased. But he had the trial videotaped, and the right wing was very against having it videotaped. But he said, look, I just want the tapes for my own purposes as I review the trial, and we'll seal them. But the federal court now, 10 years later, has said, well, that wasn't meant to be in perpetuity. These are valuable records, and this has been legal for a long time. It's just for historical purposes.
I mean, it's going to be embarrassing because... The only people they could get to testify were, they could hardly express themselves. I mean, they weren't very articulate about it, and they said a lot of stupid things. It's going to be embarrassing for those people when these tapes come out. But, that's what I remember from the hearings on the gay rights bill in the New York City Council. The only people that they could get to come up against us were ludicrous, and yet we would lose all the time.
Yes, exactly. The thing is, the transcript of the trial was already released right after the trial, and Dustin Lance Black made a play out of it, and it toured around the country somewhat, mostly at fundraisers for LGBTQ organizations.
Star-studded readings.
Yes. So it's not like the content of this trial has been secret. It's just that you're going to see the real people.
Wow. I don't know what's going to happen when they get to the Supreme Court because, we get audio of them, we get transcripts, but they still don't do video.
No, and they may never, or not in our lifetimes anyway.
Right. All right. In Dallas, the police have arrested 20-year-old Angela Walker in the murder of a trans woman, Mercy Mack, back on June 30th. he is alleging he killed her over a video of the two of them that she was going to post on social media. But for this, he shot her up multiple times. We don't have the death penalty for these things.
And there's a witness. This happened in a parking lot. And there was a witness watching out the window who has said that she saw this guy chasing her through the parking lot and shooting her dead from behind as she tried to get away from him.
Right. Okay, in Colorado, our friend out Governor Jared Polis, wearing a rainbow mask, or at least he had one at the time.
Paws on it, little footprints.
LGBT community center there signed 4 LGBT bills into law, limiting the use of gay and trans panic defenses in court.
Yep.
The 11th state to do so, improved access to HIV prevention such as PrEP, simplified requirements for a minor to obtain a birth certificate. It removes, when you change your birth certificate, it used to say amended, which drew attention to the fact that, well, why is it amended? So
right.
That's going to be gone, and that's good. And it also uses pharmaceutical rebates to fund drug assistance for low-income people with HIV, much needed.
And the PrEP stuff is, and this has happened elsewhere, I think, too, you can, instead of having to go to your doctor to get a prescription for Truvada or Descovy or whatever pre-exposure prophylaxis you are using, you can go straight to the pharmacist who can prescribe it for you. And this also mandates insurance coverage for this medicine also.
How about that Jeff Sessions? So he lost big in Alabama to Tommy Tuberville, a football
player. Tuberville.
Why doesn't he have another B there? All right. But so,
because it's Alabama.
Tommy is going to face Doug Jones, who was wonderful. But he's about 9 points behind in the polls now, but he's going to make his case.
I saw a poll today that they were running neck and neck.
That would be nice. Tommy has got some corruption problems, not as bad as Roy Moore, but corruption problems. Yeah, Sarah Gideon is going to be the candidate in Maine against Susan Collins. I would call her the infuriating Susan Collins in Maine. And so, okay.
I would call her the hypocrite Susan Collins. And we have, we told you that Rosemary Ketchum was the first transgender person elected to any office in West Virginia to the Wheeling City Council. That was last month. And now this week, Peyton Rose Michelle was elected in Louisiana to the Democratic State Central Committee. She is also a trans woman, and this is a lot of steps forward for trans people in elections. I remember when Melissa Sklars was like the first elected trans person in the country to a judicial delegate position here in New York City, and that was considered a big deal. And now people are getting elected to the state committee, the city council, the whatever.
But
to the state legislature in Virginia.
I apologize, the control is a little out of order, but it's time to mention that Ruben Diaz Sr., a notorious anti-gay bigot, who not only lost his election to out-gay Afro-Latino Richie Torres, but is now saying he will, at 77, retire from public life after his city council term is over next year.
It's
a sour era in Bronx politics.
I worry that this is just temporary sour grapes and he'll be back in some form.
Only the good die young. Let's update you. You may have read a lot of this in the papers about our friend Chris Cooper and his case. We told you that the Manhattan DA has brought charges against Amy Cooper, who made a false police report on Chris and called the cops. And Chris said that he wasn't going to cooperate with the investigation. Now, this has set off a bit of a firestorm. Chris has an op-ed piece.
He didn't say he wouldn't cooperate with the investigation. He said he wasn't happy about the prosecution and wouldn't cooperate with that.
They
have to.
As I keep pointing out, it's the state of New York versus Amy Cooper. It's not Chris Cooper versus Amy Cooper. He's not suing her. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a case against her. The state has a case against her.
Well, if it's the state, why is it the Manhattan DA bringing the charges?
The Manhattan DA, when you go to court, it's always the state. You represent the state.
Okay.
DAs, in fact, he's not even the Manhattan DA. He's really the New York County DA, to be specific. Right. But that's just the informal way we talk about it. So Chris wrote an op-ed piece about this in the Washington Post. 4,000 comments already about that. People dialoguing about this. And Chris's sister, Melody Cooper, who is the one who posted the video in the first place, has come out and written a piece saying that, you know, she disagrees with her brother about the level of cooperation that he's offering. But Chris is trying to say, you know, what we need to reform is the police. This is not about one individual, Amy Cooper. This is about making it so that when you do call the police, that they're not going to immediately assume that the black man has done something wrong and rough him up, or worse.
I agree with all of them. Well, I think it's true that it's important to stop people from making false police reports that are racist based or any kind of false police.
And I was shocked to read in the story about Cy Vance and this, it said it's one of the first times in the country that they've brought charges against somebody for doing something like this. It should happen all the time, false reports. They're very dangerous.
Exactly. And more so these days, and especially in this context of race. So I understand and agree with Melody in her desire to hold this woman accountable for that and to try to send a bigger message that this is bad. But I also understand that Chris knows this woman has been through the ringer, and it was a brief encounter, and he survived, and he, you know, lives a good life. And I would also hope that he would put it, he does talk about the need to reform the police, but a lot of people talk about reparative justice or restorative justice. Well, I can't remember which is the preferred term. So rather than taking it to court, you could have proposed a solution that had more to do with that kind of rehabilitation rather than the judicial hammer being brought down on Amy Cooper.
And that is up to the court. It's not up to Chris. I mean, yes, they do. When you're a victim in a crime, they do often invite you to say something. And Chris says, look, if I'm...
beyond that, not just a statement in court, but some kind of negotiation between the parties that takes the court out of it and takes the police out of it and that has a community solution to crime that does not involve the traditional...
If anybody, and I don't mean this facetiously, can bring together the bird watchers, the cruisers, and the dog walkers in the Ramble in Central Park, they will deserve the Nobel Peace Prize.
There's no reason they can't all talk to each other.
Well, it's tense.
Yeah, right. Because they don't talk to each other.
I I'm all for that.
Okay.
Can we talk? All right, we're going to talk about some, maybe we should talk about Naya Rivera.
Sure, okay. Well, Naya Rivera was actually a very, very important person as an actress on Glee. And you might think, well, you know, another TV show, an ensemble cast, she's not even some, you know, large star of it. Certainly an important character, but not a singular star. But her romance with Heather Morris playing Brittany on Glee was a really seminal moment 10 years ago. They were not originally scripted to have a romance on the show, but Ryan Murphy reports that the fans demanded it. That they saw what was going on, the sort of friendship chemistry between them, and said, this really has got to be turned into a relationship. And it was a difficult relationship at first. They were, you know, fighting it. They were not easy partners. And it was very idiosyncratic to bring them together, but very moving always. And you really rooted for them because they weren't traditional partners. And now that Naya has unfortunately died in this horrible boating accident or drowning, you see a lot of people online talking about how much this relationship meant to them and how it really was a role model and a support for people who were struggling with their own sexuality, teenagers especially. This was a high school show, and it really touched many, many people. And they were terrific on the show. I assume we've shown the picture of them kissing. It was extremely moving, the whole storyline, for years.
And we don't know exactly what Naya's sexuality was. I mean, she once seemed to make a joke about being bisexual on The View. But, there wasn't much more than that about that. But Naya did devote herself to LGBT causes after playing this role. She did things for GLAAD, the Trevor Project. You know, she was like, for years, she did that.
And she and Heather were great friends in real life. And Heather went out with other friends to join the search for her at the lake and tried to help find her. They were very close in real life, not a romance that anyone knows of, but just really good friends. And, they were playing characters, but it was a very, very authentic relationship that was very meaningful and important. So people are really upset at her loss, I think out of proportion to the size of the role, but really terrible to lose her.
Okay. Terrible story out of Santa Monica at a Burger King. Workers went on strike after a trans woman employee died of COVID. Angela Martinez Gomez had worked there for 15 years, and she was working there for a week with severe symptoms because they weren't letting people, take time off and everything. And management is trying to turn this around and say, no, she died from injecting hormones. So her fellow employees are furious about this. A better story, Sports Illustrated, a trans woman model is being used for the first time. Valentina Sampaio, 23, from Brazil, in the swimsuit issue. She's also been on the cover of Vogue. I think we've talked about her before.
A Vogue. The Vogue has many editions around the world. I don't think it was the U.S. Vogue, but it could have been Brazil. Instagram and Facebook have banned conversion therapy messages or ads on their platforms, which is big. And the LGBT guy at the UN is recommending a ban on conversion therapy around the world, which, of course, would be terrific. And the legislature of Mexico City has voted for a ban on conversion therapy in Mexico City. Also a good step forward. I'm, again, impressed by how fast this idea has caught on around the world.
Right. Let's talk about a couple of the people we've lost this week. One in the Bronx. Well, he worked in the Bronx. Peter Migueli, Migueli, 57. He's a defrocked gay priest who looted more than $1 million from two churches.
Well, he was cleared of the charge.
All right.
Accused of it. We don't know for sure.
Found dead in his Brick Township, New Jersey residence. The tabloids had a field day with this because, he was into S&M, but we don't know the circumstances of his death, but he is gone. And then in Philadelphia, Father Ron Hoskins, who was the chaplain to Dignity Philadelphia for 25 years, has died at the age of 70. Prior to that, he ministered to Dignity chapters all over the New York area, where he received their highest award. And he coordinated crisis intervention and client services at GMHC for 7 years. And he took over the AIDS ministry that was started by Father Bernard Lynch and then Father Michael Judge in New York. And he challenged the Catholic in Philadelphia.
One instant correction. I think we said Naya Rivera was 37.
She 33.
Was 33, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
sometimes those threes look like sevens.
All right. Should we move on to international
news? Please. Well, so let's talk about the news from Poland, the horrible homophobia, ban on homophobia. Duda was reelected president. I would say, and it's going to be bad, you know, but it was a razor thin margin, 51% to 49% over the Warsaw mayor. So that's a trend that's encouraging. That
there's you'd think that would, when you're in an election that close, you would think the winner would then take into consideration the fact that he barely won the election and that there's a whole population out there that doesn't agree with him. But no, I agree with you. It's going to get worse.
Well, you know, Trump lost the national vote, and it didn't move him.
Exactly. Exactly my point. Although Duda is saying, now, of course, if I said anything, you know, maybe the election went a little too far. If I said anything to offend anyone, I'm sorry. But even the New York Times, in its headline, says anti-LGBT campaign is what won him this election.
Well, we've been the marker, like George Bush did it to us. George W. Bush did it to us when he ran for re-election. All right. In the Sudan, better news, they're ending their ban on alcohol, apostasy, and they're ending public flogging, and they've already ended genital cutting. These are good things.
Sure. In Thailand, the cabinet of Thailand, the government, says that they are okay with a law legalizing civil partnership. So now the parliament will vote on this, and they will award most marriage benefits, including adoption rights, to same-sex couples.
But no tax breaks.
And they will consider an actual full marriage law, but not quite yet.
Our people are still fighting. So we told you about the president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, horrible guy, got COVID. Of course, we're reminding people now that when people came in with masks to meetings or things like that, he said that's for faggots. Now he is a COVID person himself.
I'm going back to marriage news. In Northern Ireland, in September, you know, they finally legalized same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland.
Well, the UK Parliament did it to them.
Yes. Well, they are going to allow religious same-sex weddings by September. And by the end of 2020, they're going to allow people in who are already in civil partnerships to convert those to marriage. So
I think when it started in the United Kingdom, they banned religious marriages for gays. And then they're not doing that anymore, except for the Anglican Church, which still doesn't do it. Although they do.
In Kosovo, the government is offering civil partnerships, but activists there want full marriage. But that's, you know, I'm glad we're having that fight at least. And in Bolivia, the Court of Justice has ordered the country to comply with the Inter-American Court of Human Rights that a couple of years ago mandated legalizing same-sex marriage all over Central and South America. And countries are being dragged kicking and screaming into this, but Bolivia may be the next one that does it because the court has ordered it.
And the Baja California state is on the verge of doing marriage equality.
Although there was a huge demonstration over the weekend of right wingers in 1,000 cars driving around Mexicali to protest the coming legalization of same-sex marriage.
They're being safe.
Yes, thank heavens they're being
safe. In China, a trans woman won a discrimination suit versus her employer. She had been terminated while on leave pursuing gender confirmation surgery. Court ordered the company to renew her contract and let her use female bathrooms.
And in Uganda, a court has awarded damages to 20 LGBT homeless youth who were illegally detained for 6 weeks. I think we told you about how the authorities went in and rounded them up and held them while the court has now awarded them damages.
They're getting $1,340, I guess split among 20 people.
Yeah.
But that was 13 gay men, 4 trans women, and 3 bisexual men. But they were treated so abominably, and they were beaten while they were being detained. I mean, it was just awful.
Perhaps they can go to Norway, which has announced that it will prioritize LGBT refugees from around the world. Mostly, LGBT refugees have a harder time. I can think of endless numbers of stories of people trying to get into, say, the UK and being refused by asylum judges and being treated awfully.
Four in ten LGBT people applying for asylum are rejected out of hand. So Norway's trying to change that.
Mostly by asylum judges who say, oh, you're not really gay, you're just making that up.
Okay.
So bravo to Norway.
All right.
And bravo to the Netherlands, where the government will remove gender markers from all government documents. No one will have gender markers. Is that the...
I don't think it's passports. It's not passports. So it's going to make it easier for non-binary and trans people. The Minister of Education and Culture said citizens can shape their own identity and propagate it in complete freedom and security.
Okay.
It's not going to be implemented until 2024 or 25.
And in Bulgaria, the European Court of Human Rights has ruled against the government for refusing to register trans man sex change marker. And so Bulgaria is going to be forced to recognize those who want to change their gender marker.
Now, we don't update you on every transphobic thing that J.K. Rowling says, but Miriam Margolis, who is a veteran actor and is in the Harry Potter movies, and one of my favorites, I love her in The Age of Innocence, by the way, she took on J.K. Rowling, calling her a gender fascist for her transphobia. Now, Miriam herself describes herself as a dyke, as she did this at a big public gathering in Australia when she was being given an honor. She said that being trans is a matter of personal happiness, and she's never very shy about expressing her views. I was in an elevator once with her, and I learned that in 1 minute.
Do you care to be more explicit, or are you?
I'm just saying. In a public setting like that, she just starts talking and spouting off on her views about things to strangers. So she's just not shy.
Well, where was I? I was at the post office yesterday mailing my taxes, and the postal clerk proceeded to tell me much too much information about how he had been away from the window for a few minutes because he had a bathroom emergency. And thank God he got there in time, and on and on and on. I thought, oh my God, do I really have to listen to this? He was more explicit about it too.
So I don't follow all these sports, but you may know some of these people in Wales. The wrestler Tegan Knox has come out, now lives in Orlando with her partner, Sierra St. Pierre. In Canada, retired Olympic swimmer Martha McCabe has come out, and she estimates that at least 10 of her 30 to 40 teammates are LGBT as well.
But, stop the presses.
She marched in the Olympic parade with a gay male swimmer, and there seemed to be more gay males out about that than the women.
I'm increasingly annoyed by their desire to win all their medals and then retire and then come out. I'm sorry. I should be more
Well, we've reported on some, I believe it was a swimmer, who said that as soon as I came out, I swam better.
Well, of course. Look, I was a production assistant for ABC working the the national figure skating championships in Providence, Rhode Island in about 1973. And every last one of them was gay, the men anyway. But were they out? No.
All right. There's a report, and we're going to link to this in our email, on how police and we've told you about this phenomenon, how police in anti-LGBT countries are increasingly using LGBT dating apps to spy on and arrest LGBT people. They cite Russia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Lebanon, and Ghana. Most of the apps, here's the problem, most of the apps lack privacy safeguards. They say Scruff is the best, but the others are just not adopting these extra steps that you need to protect people from what could be death in these countries.
Well, what would a privacy safeguard even be? I mean, if you go onto one of these apps and you connect with someone, how in the world are you going to protect yourself from that being a cop?
I will link to the report in our email.
I'm not asking personally for this, but I'm trying to figure out how you would even do that.
Well, Scruff seems to have done it. I don't know. There were security things that they
could. They ask you questions that only real gay men would know?
I don't know. These are all good questions. You're a good reporter and have been for a long time.
All right. Are we ready to move on to AIDS news?
Well, I mean, the most striking thing to me this week was that 5.4 million Americans who lost their jobs have also lost their health insurance in the middle of a pandemic. You know, in civilized nations, you know how many people lose their health insurance when there's anything happen? None. None. Because everybody has it. What's wrong with you, America?
Well, this is what Medicare for All or single payer would do. People, you know, lose their minds saying they don't want the government supplying their health care. But if your health care is tied to your job and you lose your job.
But I mean, as soon as the pandemic hit, the government was going into debt for trillions of dollars, mainly to prop up the stock market and corporations. But,
and the Catholic Church.
Huh? And the Catholic Church. And a lot of other religions.
So really, think about it. Just 1 + 1 = 2. If your job is your source of your health insurance and you lose your job, then what?
All right. We're down to our last 5 minutes.
All right. In Mount Sinai Hospital here in New York, actually several Mount Sinai Hospital facilities, have done a study of 4,400 people with coronavirus, 88 of whom were people living with HIV, 2% of the total. And they looked at death rates and comorbidities under the assumption that HIV would be a comorbidity, which would put you at greater risk of more serious consequences like death. But what they found was that, in fact, there was no difference in...
Well, and this was relatively early in the pandemic. And okay. Everybody was getting hydroxychloroquine, which was killing everybody off practically, and azithromycin. So I'd be more interested in a study that looks at what's happening now.
Well, sure, but we have also reported as we've gone along that people with HIV on good meds controlling the virus have done as well as anybody else in this pandemic. This is just a confirming study from what we've been hearing for weeks.
Did the Mount Sinai study look at whether prayers from Samaritan's Purse for their patients did anything for them?
I knew you were going there. Here's my question. Today, I Googled Samaritan's Purse expecting to find reports of their outstanding work in Texas and Florida California and Arizona and Alabama. No, not a word.
They just wanted those tents in Central Park to raise a lot of money off a lot of suckers, and they're gone, and they're not doing anything for anybody.
And the tents are gone, but the ads are not. The Franklin Graham ads talking about all the great work they did are running all over television, and they are still raising money on that.
All right, 3 minutes.
Elton John says you can't fight HIV and AIDS without fighting racism in the United States. Yes, thank you, Elton. We've been trying to do that for 35 years, but we appreciate your analysis.
And I think Lil Nas X is working on fighting homophobia, because his new track is called Call Me By Your Name, and he's wearing a rainbow festooned cap in the announcement of it.
Well, the whole point is he's been out since his...
But he's making an issue of it, and he's a very important cultural figure now.
But he's making an issue of it with a French movie and book title? What's that about?
It's gay. It's gay. It's just a gay touchstone. Speaking of which, on Netflix, I haven't watched it yet, but they've got a documentary on the late Walter Mercado, the Puerto Rican TV and radio...
I'm looking forward to that.
Huh?
I'm looking forward to seeing that somehow, somewhere.
It's called Mucho Mercado Amor. It focuses on him as a gender nonconforming entertainer. This is somebody who reached millions of people.
Well, we talked about him when he died within the last year or two. Yes, very famous and influential. So I think the documentary must be wonderful.
Broadway Cares is live streaming the Broadway Bears benefit that they've done for 30 years. This is a strip show, but it's Broadway entertainers. It's R-rated. It's not X-rated. And August 1st, BroadwayCares.org at 9:30 p.m. It'll be free, and you can watch it online, which is better than standing there, because that's how you have to watch it if you see it in New York.
Because it's standing room only. They don't require
There's very few seats. It's mostly just people standing, watching them perform. Men and women, by the way.
Congratulations to Jesse Tyler Ferguson and his husband, Justin Makita. They've been married since 2013. They have just had their son, a first child, born to a surrogate, I believe, named Beckett Mercer. So congratulations.
Hey, he's going to be in Take Me Out, the play, if they ever bring back Broadway.
Yeah.
Bisexual actor Javicia Leslie is going to be the first black woman to play Batwoman on the CW, taking over for Ruby Rose. But they're going to call her character something else, Ryan Wilder.
Okay.
All right. And Broadway Cares reran that Bernadette Peters benefit from 2009 and raised $250,000 just doing that. But they had Michael Urie and Bernadette chatting as well. And it was a nice show.
I think they should run the interview between Seth Rudetsky and Patti LuPone.
Absolutely. I'd pay to see that again.
It was one of the greatest things I ever saw. One of my favorite moments on Broadway.
Our last few seconds, so we thank you for watching, and we hope to see you next week, and we hope it's a better week than this one was.
Yeah, a lot to complain about this week, but onward. Thank you for joining us.